Good to be with you here to share in the gospel message in Leven, I think they call this place. Came to a few places tonight I didn't recognise, but there we go. And I thought this was the first time I was here. And then when I came in the hall and saw this nice rostrum, I remembered I'd been here before. Now, I don't know if any of you remember that, but that must have been a long time ago. Now, we're going to turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, first of all, and chapter number 3. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 3. We're going to read from the beginning of the chapter, chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. I just want you to remember one of these people. It's an awful list of names in this few verses, but I want you to remember in verse number 1, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. Chapter 13, please. Again from verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told him, that is the Lord Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18, upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. John's Gospel, please. And chapter 19. John's Gospel and chapter 19. Again reading from verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. One final reading, please, in the book of the Revelation, and chapter number 21. Revelation 21 and verse number 8, just the verse. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm sure God will bless to us the public reading of his word. I'd like to look with you tonight at this man, Pilate, in the portions of scripture that we've read together. There's an awful lesson to be learned from this man. Here was a man that came face to face with our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Here was the one who had the opportunity to bow his knee and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. And with all the people around him, and all the influences that were around him, he had the opportunity to do something about his life, for he had such a wicked life, and we'll come to see that in a moment. And he had the opportunity to get it all put right, and have his eternity secured for all eternity yet to come. And yet the opportunity comes, and he misses it completely, and he sends our Saviour out to be crucified at Calvary. And he puts him out, and he puts him away, and he misses his opportunity to get himself right with his God. Now we want to look at Pilate in four simple ways tonight. In Luke chapter number 3, we read of the fact of his governorship in the area at the particular time that we're thinking of the life of our Lord Jesus. And I want to think first of all about Pilate's authority. He was the governor of Judea. And then in Luke chapter 13, I want to see there not now Pilate's authority, but Pilate's treachery. He had gone into the synagogue of the Jews, and he didn't care about God or his people or his ways. And he had slain those that were worshipping him, and their blood was mingled with the sacrifices that they were offering, and he was so treacherous. He didn't care about anything, and he committed these treacheries so long ago. The Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. But then in John chapter 19, and really we could have read any of the gospel writers, but we have a fourfold picture of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. But Pilate is given to us by each of the writers. But we read in John chapter 19, and we want to think not now about Pilate's authority or his treachery, but Pilate's travesty. Then delivered he him to be crucified. The one that he had declared three times over, I find no fault in him. The one that he had been told was the eternal Son of God. The one that could have saved him from his sin. And he puts him, and he delivers him to be crucified. Pilate's travesty. And then finally in Revelation chapter 21, there's a little catalogue of different kinds of people in that verse. But I think the first word, the first description is Pilate's description, the fearful. The fearful. You see, we're going to come to learn that Pilate listened too much to the crowd. And he worried too much about what his wife would say. And he worried too much about what Caesar would say. And he wasn't the coward of his own conviction. And he just wanted to do to please those that were around him. Rather than listen to the words of the Lord Jesus and acknowledge the demands of a holy God. And in his fear and in his cowardice, he turns our Saviour over to the men to be crucified. And he will be one of those that are fearful. And we'll think of him in his latter day. Now, although we're speaking of Pilate tonight, I want to make sure that we don't miss the person that Pilate's standing in front of in this occasion, our beloved Lord Jesus. But dear friend in the meeting tonight, if you don't see him and you don't come to him, you'll never have any hope for all eternity. And you must come to acknowledge and appreciate the one that Pilate is standing before. But I want to use Pilate to highlight to some wonderful things in the gospel, how what God has done for us. So while we're looking at Pilate's authority, I want to think about the purposes of God and see what he has meant, why he put Pilate in his position the day that he did. And while we're going to think about Pilate's treachery, I want to think about the penalty of God. Because our Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes for us in those verses, Pilate wasn't any worse, and the people in that synagogue and the people in that tower, they weren't any worse than any of the people in Jerusalem. You see, we're all exactly the same. And if we don't repent, if we don't turn from our sin, if we don't flee from that which is separating us from God and God's fair heaven, then we'll endure and we'll experience the penalty of God. For except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But then finally, in John chapter 19, whilst we will learn of Pilate's travesty, I want us to see that in it all, although men seek or thought they were in control of that day, although men thought they were getting rid of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to see that it was all in the heart and the plan of God to deliver his Son up freely for us all, and that the Lord Jesus Christ should be allowed to be taken by men, and that he would go willingly out to that cross and allow men to nail him to that tree and to hang there upon that center cross and to go into the hours of darkness. And we'll see that the work that the Lord Jesus does and the cry that he makes, it is finished. It will remind us of the provision of God and what he has done. For although Pilate had done the wrong thing that day, our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the heart and will of God, and he made provision for salvation for you and me, so that sinners like you and me, those who need to repent of their sin, we have one we can turn to, for he has paid it all. All to him I owe. He has shed his precious blood. And you and I, dear friend, tonight, if we come to him, we can know our sins many, all forgiven. Now, I'll need to watch that clock. It is quarter past. We finish, isn't it? Now, these four little verses together, very quickly. Pilate's authority, the governor of Judea. Just two things, really, I want you to notice about this. You see, I want you to think now about the timing of his rule. Pilate had been brought into the governorship of Judea. Now, all the other names that we read in that portion, they were either Jewish people or from other nations, but Pilate particularly, he's brought into Judea to be the governor over that area, and that simply tells me this, that the Romans were in control. The Romans were in control. You see, all the time our Lord Jesus Christ stepped out into his public ministry, Caesar was on the throne in Rome, and Pilate was the governor that brought the rule in the area where he was. And throughout all that time of his public ministry, the Romans were in control. You see, these men who were eventually going to take him, they, in their rules and all their ways, he walked through those 3.5 years, and the Romans couldn't lay a finger upon him, and they had no control over him, and they couldn't condemn him. Their laws were such, and he kept them all. And our beloved Saviour, he was perfect throughout all of that time. It's a wonder, isn't it? Although there were prophecies of old that would say that the Romans would come into power, the very time when our Lord Jesus moves out into public ministry, and his preaching of the gospel and all the blessings that he made, we learn from secular history that Pilate even wrote a letter to Caesar talking about this man who was doing miracles in the area that he was governor of. And his timing was such that a perfect life was lived all the days that Pilate was governor of Judea. But the important thing I want you to remember is not just the timing of his rule, but the type of his rule. You see, the fact that the Romans were in power meant this. You see, had it been the Babylonians, the Lord Jesus might have been thrown to a den of lions. Had it been some other nation, if it had been the Jews, they might have been stoned. And there could have been 101 ways to put our Lord Jesus to death, depending on the type of country that was in rule. But God had said that we would see his hands and his feet would be pierced. They would look upon him whom they pierced, is what the prophet said. Who were the people that were going to crucify their criminals? It was the Roman authorities. And God made sure when our Lord Jesus Christ came into his public ministry, the Romans were governors in Judea. You see, in John 18 we read, signifying what death he should die. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ knew he was going to a cross. When he came into our world and he walked through Judea, he knew that Pilate was the governor. He knew that Caesar was on the throne in Rome. And our Lord Jesus knew that these men were going to crucify him upon a cross. Pilate's authority. You see, dear friend, in the meeting tonight, the powers of our world are ordained by our God. Everything is ordained by him. We can't vote anybody in or out, for the powers that be are ordained by our God. And the Romans were there because God allowed them to be there. I want you to understand in your life, dear friend, you're not in this meeting by accident. You have heard the gospel maybe many times, and our God is interested in you. And he has orchestrated the circumstances of your life that even tonight you're found here again with the scriptures opened, the scriptures being read, and this poor preacher trying to explain to you how the God of heaven loves you and how our Lord Jesus Christ has died for you and how he's now seated at God's right hand above, waiting and willing and able to save you if you will only come to him for salvation. Pilate's authority. But the purposes of God, it was so that our Saviour would die the death he had prophesied in the Old Testament. But Luke 13, Pilate's treachery. What a wicked man this Pilate was. The scriptures don't give us very many details of his life before we meet him at the cross. But you know, secular history is full of the treachery of this man. What a wicked man. His heart and his head were cold and hard and different. And he hated anyone who was against him or against his will or against the Romans and the things that he did. You see, he had absolutely no regard for God, no regard for his people, no regard for their practices. He went into the synagogue and he took the people of God and he slew them. What a wicked man he was. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, I don't suppose there's anyone in the hall that's ever slain a soul. Never mind taking a righteous person in that way. But you know, I want to underline, and the Lord Jesus is underlining for us in these verses, you see, the Jews were asking, the disciples were asking the question, Lord, these Galileans that were slain, had they done something really wrong to deserve that kind of treatment? And the Lord Jesus turns to them and he says, listen, don't you worry about these Galileans, what they had done. They hadn't done anything worse than the rest of Jerusalem. He says, you remember that tower in Siloam? Maybe to bring it up to the 20th century, you remember those two towers in New York? The people in those towers hadn't done anything worse than the rest of the people in America. You see, the Lord Jesus is underlining that every one of us are exactly the same, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus says two times over, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, can I ask you in the meeting tonight, has there been a moment in your life when you've realized that you're just a sinner, an abject sinner, and that your sin is going to separate you from heaven, for not a defiler can ever enter into God's fair heaven? And that sin of yours, dear friend, will separate you from him forever and forever and forever. And to repent simply means to turn one's thinking around completely. To turn from the object that used to be your desire, the things that you used to do, the things that you used to say, and to turn from them completely, giving them up and turning to the Saviour and turning to no one else. For except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, the wages of our sin is death. You see, dear friend, sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. And the reason that you and I die is because of that wicked and that sinful nature within us. And we can't do anything about it. And it will overtake us. But dear friend, in the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ over is warning them. Don't look at anybody else. For once in your life, worry about yourself. For except you repent, you will all likewise perish. All have sinned, therefore all must repent. Can I ask you tonight, have you repented of your sin? Have you agreed with God about the standard of your life, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the only man that walked upon this planet that satisfied the heart of God, that kept the law of God, that was perfect in all his ways. Never a path to be retraced, never a word to be taken back, never a thought to be redone. Our beloved Saviour was absolutely perfect. And he is the standard that God expects. And you and I, you know, we regret the words we say, don't we? And the kind of things that we think. And if all our lives were to be written up on the wall, how embarrassed we would be. Oh, dear friend, how important it is tonight that you should be concerned about your sin. I trust you are concerned about your sin, for it is a great long eternity, and it will separate you from God and from every other thing. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Pilate's treachery, it reminds us of the penalty of God. For those who have sinned against him, we will be separated from him. And we will stand before our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that Pilate took and nailed upon the tree. He will sit down upon that great white throne, and he will judge those that haven't repented of their sin
and trusted in him. But let's come to John chapter 19. Pilate comes face to face with the Lord Jesus. Imagine meeting the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And here's the man who's the highest authority in the land at the time, Pilate. And he meets the Lord Jesus. And when you read the chapter together, we didn't have time to read through chapter 18. If you have time at home, please do that as well. And see the whole scene together where Pilate takes our Lord Jesus and he grills him, if you like. He questions him and he asks all the questions. And as we said earlier, three times over, no matter how much he scrutinizes him, he has to say over and over again, I find no fault in him. And verse number 38 of the previous chapter is the first time Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault. I find in him no fault at all. You see, Pilate, he finds our Lord Jesus Christ absolutely perfect. But there were people in Pilate's life that influenced him at this important occasion. The first person that we read about, if we have read some of the other Gospels, in Luke 23 at this particular point, when the Lord Jesus Christ learns of where the Lord Jesus is from, he sends him to Herod. Now Herod and Pilate hadn't been the best of chums. You see, Pilate was the governor now, and Herod wasn't. And politics are such, I suppose, that would be the case, but they had fallen out. But Pilate was still the governor. But Pilate now gets an opportunity to send Herod this present, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus. You see, Herod had wanted to see him of a long time, and he had wanted to see some miracle done by him. But when the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't stoop to their level and just be entertainment for them, he stood in their midst absolutely silent. And they beat him, and the soldiers beat him, and they sent him back to the Lord Jesus after mocking him. And Pilate and Herod became friends again because of what they did to the Lord Jesus. I wonder, dear friend, in the meeting today, if you have not repented of your sin and turned to the Saviour because you're frightened what your friends might say. If you were to go to school tomorrow or to work or into your street and speak to your friends and you were to tell them, yes, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ last night, maybe you're scared of what your friends might say. Well, Pilate was prepared to do this with our Lord Jesus so that he could become friends with Herod. But then in verse 4 of the chapter that we read, Pilate says again, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. And in Matthew's Gospel, we find at this point that Pilate's wife comes into the equation. Now if Pilate was a character, a wicked character, Claudia, his wife, was even worse. She was mixed up in all sorts of things. Witchcraft and all sorts of things. But she knew that this man didn't deserve to die. But she knew that if Pilate was to trust him and own him as Lord, she would have to give up all that she had. And she just said to him, have nothing to do with him. And Pilate, he listened to his wife. And he sought to take the water and wash his hands of the Lord Jesus. But you know, Pilate needed to trust the Lord Jesus, not condemn him. And Claudia, his wife, a relative of his, if you like, put him off from bowing the knee to our Saviour. I wonder, dear friend, maybe because of your family, if you were to go home and tell those that you know and love that you've turned from your sin and trusted the Saviour and that you have eternal life and that heaven's going to be your home, are they going to put you off? But Pilate again, he scrutinizes the Saviour again, and the third time we find in verse number 6, again he takes him out, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.
But this time the Jews know now what button to push. Yes, Herod has passed. Claudia has passed. And Pilate seems to get himself into the corner. He's almost at the point you would think he was going to release him. But they say to him, what do they tell him in verse number 12? If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Ah. It was going to cost him his job. If he was going to trust the Saviour, if he was going to bow the knee and acknowledge this man Jesus as Lord, it would cost him everything. And Pilate weighed it up. Caesar or Christ? My boss or this man? This one who had said, behold the man, behold the king. And what do we read? Those great words in verse 16. Then deliver he him, therefore unto them to be crucified. Oh, dear friend in the meeting tonight, listen not to the voices that are round about. Don't worry about friends or family or work colleagues or your boss or whoever it might be. You have the great need to be saved tonight. Your soul is so precious. It's more precious than all this world put together. And our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything by coming to this place called Calvary. He allowed these men to take him and crucify him upon that cross. And our Lord Jesus Christ, although Pilate thought he delivered him, you know, Peter reminds us, doesn't he, in Acts 2, our Lord Jesus Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel of God. And he was delivered up to a cross, a death by crucifixion. And there in the hours of darkness, our beloved Saviour knew what it was to bear our sins in his own body upon the tree. And God, who knew our sin, he laid them on him. And by believing, you and I, he can go free. Our time is fully gone. What about Pilate's eternity? What about Pilate's eternity? Well, the last thing we read about Pilate in our Bible, you remember when the Lord Jesus was risen again, and the soldiers were so scared when they came and found the grave empty, they paid them the money so that it wouldn't come to the governor's ears. Pilate's ears is the last thing we read about. Well, what do we think about Pilate in Revelation 21? He stood before the Lord Jesus. He had the opportunity to see him and to acknowledge him as Lord. That was the first time he had actually met the Lord Jesus, was in Pilate's judgment hall. The next time Pilate is going to meet the Lord Jesus is going to be in another judgment hall. It will be the Lord Jesus' judgment hall. And he will be sitting on a great white throne, and Pilate will have to stand before him. And the man who said, behold your king, and behold the man, will hear the words, behold your judge. And he will be taken. For those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. This man who wasn't brave enough to trust the Saviour, this man who wasn't able to turn from his sin and trust the Saviour, he will be found before the great white throne, and for eternity, forever and forever, without his friends, without his family, without his boss, he will be gone. You know, not long after this, Pilate, he regretted everything that he did. And he went out and committed suicide. And he went out into eternity without trusting the Saviour. It was too late for him. Oh, dear friend in the meeting tonight, I trust you haven't heard the gospel over and over again. And you've maybe been pointed to him and shown him more perfectly. And you've maybe seen him and heard of him from the platform here maybe many Sunday nights.
But oh, dear friend, tonight might be the last opportunity that you would get to come to Him by repenting from your sin and trusting in our Saviour. You see, He loves you. That's why He came from heaven's glory. That's why He allowed Pilate to take Him and to send Him out to Golgotha's rugged hill. Because He loves you, dear friend, and He gave Himself on Calvary for you. And if you will trust Him, then you will go to be with Christ forever and forever and forever, to be in His presence and to see the wonder of His power and to hear the wonder of His words and to spend eternity with one that we will never exhaust the glories and beauties of, our beloved Saviour Himself. Oh, dear friend, in the meeting tonight we would plead with you, trust Him and He will do far better for you than this world will ever do. May God bless His word. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you again for thy precious word. We thank you above all, our Father, for thy beloved Son. We thank you, our Father, for his love and him coming down to where we were and walking through the scene of time. And although men hated him and although men cried away with him, we thank you he was willing to go to that rugged tree and there die on Calvary's hill for sinners like us. We thank you afresh for this tonight. Our God, we commit ourselves to thee now. Thou knowest every head that is bowed in thy presence. Thou knowest all that are thine. We would long, our God and Father, that everyone in the meeting tonight might know him as their own and personal Saviour, that they might know him whom to know is life eternal. So, Father, part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, we would pray. So we return thanks again for all thy love and thy care. Above all, again, we return thanks for our Saviour and his precious and worthy name. Amen. God will. Time to school, they go on the one side.